University Broadcast Studio. It's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show, broadcasting from our heavily fortified Southern Command in Memphis, Tennessee. You can't be too careful these days. With all the pillaging and the plundering and the rioting and the horrible things happening in American cities that are controlled by Democrats. And we're going to get into that today, folks. Wow, welcome to the show. And my condolences for all of you folks that live in places like New York City and Chicago, Portland, Seattle, Denver. The list goes on and on and on. Where these rampaging mobs of anarchists and Lord knows what, the refuse of society, they are causing all sorts of mayhem, and the president finally said enough is enough. And I think it's very interesting, folks, that when the president announced he was sending in federal troops to put down the rebellion, the Democrats sided with the folks pillaging and plundering their cities. Just so you know the lay of the land out there. So last night, something very interesting happened in Portland, Oregon. And what a third world hellhole that city has become. By the way, I've been to Portland, beautiful area. Believe it or not, there are a lot of conservatives in that part of Oregon. And they flew me out there several years ago. As a matter of fact, it was me and who was it? Dinesh D'Souza, Michelle Malkin, and myself. And they flew us out there. We gave some speeches and tried to encourage the conservative remnant there in Portland. And we just had a terrific time. Great city. But not anymore. Thanks to Mayor Ted Wheeler. And by the way, this guy, Mayor Ted Wheeler, he needs to be arrested. That's what needs to happen. They need to be arresting these Democrat mayors who are not enforcing the law. These Democrats are telling the police to stand down, do not engage, let the protesters pillage and plunder, let them burn down the police precincts, let them burn down the federal buildings, just turn a blind eye to it. There are reports in Portland of businesses that have been destroyed, small business owners now left without anything because the mayor refuses to do anything. Ted Wheeler is the guy's name. And so yesterday, last night, Mayor Wheeler, who stands in solidarity with these anarchists, decided, you know what, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to stand with the people and I'm going to let them know that I've got their back. And it was going to be one of these kumbaya moments. But instead of this touchy-feely, everybody's hugging and weeping and celebrating Lord knows what, instead of singing kumbaya, they ended up tear gassing the mayor. They turned on the mayor. Oh, it was terrible. I think we have some audio of that. Cut number four, please.
I'm not going to lie. It stings. It's hard to breathe. And I can tell you with 100% honesty, I saw nothing that provoked this response. It's nasty stuff. I'm not afraid, but I am pissed off.
What are you pissed about?
This is a egregious overreaction on the part of the federal officers. There was nothing that I saw in the video that warranted this reaction. And all it's doing, as you can see, it hasn't stopped the stuff. They fired munitions, they fired tear gas. All it's done is piss everybody off even more.
Sure.
It's made people angry. They've come in and they've clicked a hornet's nest.
Sure.
This is not a de-escalation strategy. This is flat out urban warfare.
Well, of course it's urban warfare. Stop the audio there. Of course it's urban warfare, Mr. Mayor. They're burning down your city. The guy, he's got the mask on. They tear gassed the federal troops, tear gassed the mayor of Portland, Oregon. I don't know who did that, but I would love to buy him a drink, a cold beverage. Whoever did that. But the mayor, I don't know what he's smoking up at City Hall, or I don't know what he's snorting up at City Hall. But for the mayor to come out there and say that that this was some sort of a vast overreach by the feds, they set fire to the federal courthouse, sir. And you could hear all of the mayhem, and the mayor is like, well, this is just all very peaceful. We don't see a problem at all. It's these bad, bad federal people coming in and just stirring up a hornet's nest. This is nuts. So there is complete anarchy right now in Portland. But what they ought to do here, and President Trump is under fire because he's playing hardball with these people. And you've got these mayors out there, Lori Lightfoot over in Chicago, saying that President Trump has no authority to come in and send troops into her city. You know, the mayor's out there giving these big, huge, grandiose speeches while people are literally being gunned down in the streets. I've never seen anything like this. Cut number one, please.
The president has been on a campaign now for some time against Democratic mayors across the country, whether it's me, whether it's Keisha Lance Bottoms in Atlanta, whether it's Muriel Bowser in Washington, D.C., whether it's Jenny Durkin in Seattle. Do you see a common theme here? The president is trying to divert attention from his failed leadership on COVID-19.
No, ma'am. He's trying to save your citizens. She's so busy sending police to church houses to break up worship services. In the meantime, you have thugs roaming the streets, gunning down people. How many people got shot last weekend in Chicago? Over 60 people got shot in Chicago. 14 people got shot at a freaking funeral, for crying out loud. It is out of control. And now the narrative being advanced now is that these really are peaceful protesters, that the folks that are actually out there beating up the police are police officers. They actually want you to believe that. A city commissioner in Portland, Oregon, said that the police department had infiltrated Antifa, and they were the ones causing all the mayhem. You can't make this stuff up. These people are flat out crazy. Now, the question yesterday was raised of Kayleigh McEnany at the White House press briefing. And one of the masked reporters asked Kayleigh McEnany a question.
Well, excuse me, Ms. McEnany.
I can't hear you. Take your mask off. Pardon me, Ms. McEnany, but can you tell us what right does the president have to send in federal troops to stop very bad people from hurting law-abiding citizens? What right, ma'am, does he have to do that? How dare the president stop someone from pillaging and plundering and looting and raping people in the streets and assaulting people in the streets? How dare he? What right does the president have, Kayleigh McEnany? You know, I really wish that President Trump just would make me an honorary press secretary for the day. Just give me a couple of minutes in the White House press briefing room so we can clean out that infestation of hate. Because here's how I would have responded. I would have just simply asked the reporter, what exactly gives these mayors the right to turn a blind eye while these Antifa thugs, while these anarchists are burning down city blocks, pillaging and plundering private businesses, raping and murdering and assaulting people in the streets, defecating on the sidewalks? What gives them the right to do that? Because the last time I checked, the mayor of Portland, Oregon, and Chicago, and New York City, and Albuquerque, New Mexico, and Kansas City, Missouri, and Seattle, Washington, they have an obligation. They put their hand on the good book, and they swore to protect their cities, and they have failed. And so now it's time for the big boys, for the grown-ups to come in and take care of business. And I say they play hardball. I think the president ought to just tell federal troops, take the gloves off and put down the rebellion. And if Mayor Ted Wheeler stands in the way, you tear gas his butt. And if that doesn't stop him, you throw him in the tank, too. That's what I say. I feel so bad for the good citizens of places like Portland and Chicago. But honest to goodness, folks, and I want you to hear me, we feel bad for you folks in those cities. But what is wrong with you? Why do you keep electing these people to office? At some point, you bear responsibility. You get what you voted for. I just don't get that. Look, we've got to take a break. We've got a lot going on here. We're going to go through the Insurrection Act because the president does have the legal authority to send federal troops in. And this is not the first time that a president has done something like this. But we're going to be taking your calls on this. What do you think the right course of action is for the president? Is he doing the right thing? Do you approve of what this president is doing? 844-747-8868. It is a toll-free number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
You're listening to Todd Starnes.
Todd Starnes Radio Show. And as promised, the president does have the right under the Insurrection Act to call up active military or federalize the National Guard. There are three circumstances that a president can do this. The first is at the request of the state. And if you remember back in 1992, remember Rodney King? Can't we all just get along? Remember what they did to Reginald Denny? That truck driver who just was doing his job and the mob descended upon his big rig and hauled him out and beat him in the streets, leaving him gravely injured. That is why, boys and girls, a lot of the grown-ups, when they get caught in these mobs, that's why they hit the gas, because they don't want to be a Reginald Denny. They don't want to be stomped. They don't want to have their brains splattered on the pavement. That's why they speed off when their cars are surrounded by mobs. And you have the little thugs and the thuggets and the thuglings jumping up and down on the cars, acting like fools. So back in 1992, California Governor Pete Wilson said, you know what, Mr. President George H.W. Bush, we got to have some help down here. They're burning down the city. And the president said, no problem. In 1987, President Ronald Reagan sent military troops to Atlanta. I actually covered this story. I was in college, young kid, but I remember I was out there, out in front of the federal prison. There was all sorts of chaos, and the president was allowed to do that because he's also allowed to enforce federal law. And the president is also allowed to invoke the Insurrection Act to protect civil rights. And that's where we are right now. And there have been moments, there have been times in American history where the president has done that without the express permission of the state governors. And that happened in Little Rock, Arkansas, when President Eisenhower sent in the 101st Airborne and he federalized the entire Arkansas National Guard to enforce court-ordered school desegregation. President John F. Kennedy, Lyndon Johnson did the same thing to enforce other desegregation orders in Mississippi and Alabama. All states, by the way, at the time, run by call screener Avery, a little pop quiz. Name the political party in charge of Alabama and Mississippi and Arkansas at the time they had to invoke the Insurrection Act.
It was the Democratic Party,
it
correct?
It was the Democrats. Yes, you
Yay.
Are correct.
Do I get a cookie?
Avery's better at the pop quizzes than I am.
Yeah, that's kind of figured. So, you know, he's a college kid. You know, he's learning. But this is stuff they're not going to teach you that in your college, Avery. It's important for you to understand, folks, that the party of chaos is the Democrat Party. So look. President Trump, and they will have you believing that this is the first time in American history that a president has called out troops to put down a rebellion. That's not true. Since 1808, and we were researching this last night, since 1808, 21 times, presidents have invoked the Insurrection Act. And I know, yes, I know there are some Republicans out there who are very upset with the president, but what is the president supposed to do, folks? Is President Trump supposed to just, what, turn a blind eye, just like these governors and these mayors? What does the president do? What are the business owners supposed to do when their entire livelihoods, all of their life savings, are just up in smoke? What do you do? 844-747-8868 is our toll-free number. That's 844-747-8868. I want to play some audio for you. Caleb is our audio engineer, and he cuts up all of our audio. When you heard the singing, what was your initial thought?
Well, I didn't know what to think, quite frankly, because it wasn't the first time that we've had singing. Remember the what city was it a while back with the? I almost want to call it like a prayer that was going on.
Oh, that was Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
That was the repent of white prayer.
That still takes the cake for sure.
But I call that the Caucasian confession. So this is what's going on. So they really do want you to believe that this is just a peaceful protest. We're just little pajama boy snowflakes and Mexican Manchu wearing gals just singing kumbaya in the streets. Cut number three. Oh, geez, Lou, that's not the audio. You know what? We're gonna find that. Stop. We're gonna find the audio, and we're gonna play the song that they were singing in just a little while. But there's some crazy stuff going down out there in Portland. All right, let's you know what? We're gonna have Ed hang on because we're coming up on a break here. Want to bring you another story. We have this up on the website toddstearns.com. This happened in Southern California. A group of patriots, mostly elderly folks, dressed in the red, white, and blue, they're out there and they're very upset about these quarantine orders. And we have some new quarantine orders to share with you a little bit later in the show as well. But they're very upset, and so they're standing there protesting on the sidewalk. And they have the signs. They're all big Trump supporters. All of a sudden, this car comes screeching and just stops on this busy roadway. Out comes an active duty member of the Navy in uniform, and she jumps out. And she's a sturdy gal, as they say. Jumps out and starts screaming, "F Trump, F Trump." And then out comes the middle finger, flipping everybody off. A Navy sailor saying F the commander in chief. What do you think about that, folks? 844-747-8868, toll free number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show. Folks, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Great to have you with us. Wow, we've got a great show lined up for your good friend Sebastian Gorka. Going to drop by a little bit later on. He's got the coolest voice in radio. Hello, I'm Dr. Gorka. Great voice, that guy. Oh, so we've got this audio of the creepy Antifa people. And I guess is this the Antifa Corral? I don't know if they have an official name, but they were singing in Portland before they started burning down everything and tear gassing the mayor. Let's listen to the choral sounds of the Antifa choir.
Hands up, please don't shoot me.
They've got somebody's banging the bongo back there, trying to keep the beat.
Yeah, the drum is actually not bad. I was a little disappointed because I expected better of them. They didn't progress the melody at all. They just repeated the same line over and over.
I mean, if you're going to do a song like that, you at least need at least one verse and a chorus and then maybe a bridge. And then you come back to the chorus with a big crescendo finish.
They didn't resolve the melody, so now I'm just frustrated.
I'm not okay with that. That's really scary.
It is a little creepy.
When the drums started to come in, I thought it was something like from Jumanji or something like that. I mean, oof.
You know, I got caught up in one of those drum circles in Asheville, North Carolina.
Oh, really?
The first time I was in Asheville, I didn't realize it was the Berkeley of the South. I mean, I knew you could smell the patchouli oil was very strong when you got into the city. And I just figured, you know, I don't know. It is what it is. But I went to there was a little restaurant, and I sat down at the restaurant, and I was talking to I was on Eric Metaxas's show last night. And I realized after what happened in Asheville that the country was doomed. So I sit down in Asheville, North Carolina. And I was wanting some barbecue, so I looked at the menu. The first warning sign, there was no sweet tea in the barbecue joint. The second thing that really set me off, they were serving barbecue tofu.
Okay, that's not okay.
So I did what any God-fearing Baptist would do. I rebuked them in the name of the Almighty and got up and walked out of that place. And then I stumbled into the drum circle. And that was quite an experience.
Like
I was the only person there without dreadlocks, so I don't know. Oh, I forgot to tell you guys about I had an experience a couple of days ago, and I've got to tell you guys about this. Then we're going to get to the caller in just a moment. So hang tight if you're on hold. So here in Memphis, my hometown, it's a little violent. As a matter of fact, Memphis, one of the most violent cities in the country. And I think just about everybody here has a gun story. So a couple of nights ago, really afternoons ago, I was leaving the station. I had to run home, and then I had to run some errands. And I'm driving down the busy avenue, Poplar Avenue. The one they want to change to Black Lives Matter Avenue. And I look in my rearview mirror and I notice this car driving erratically. It was just zigging and zagging all over the place and speeding up. And at first I thought, man, this guy's going to hit me. And so I'm driving along doing the speed limit. And the guy literally whips around at the last second and then jerks right back into the lane. And so I hit the horn. And then we come to a stop at the traffic light. So the dude in the car is like right in front of me. And I have these other two vehicles on either side. And then there are two on the side of the guy. And he slumps down in the seat, fellas. And in about 2 seconds, out comes the gun.
Yikes.
And the guy is waving around. He's waving around the gun, and he has it was sort of a surreal moment because you're sitting there and you're going, oh wow, that guy's got a gun. And he was waving it around, and I thought, well, what's this guy doing here? You know, I mean, is he going to open fire? So you're just kind of like in that moment. So I called 911. You know, I was trying not to be, you know, trying to be fairly inconspicuous, so I called 911 on the the phone, and the 911 operator's taking all the information, getting the guy's, you know, the tag number, the whole nine yards. And so then the 911 operator asks me, Todd Starnes, the white man who hosts this radio program, sir, can you give us a description of the suspect? And I paused and I thought, am I allowed to do that? You know, in today's woke culture, am I, Todd Starnes, a white guy allowed to give a description of the driver of the car? And again, I mean, I haven't been harmed. The guy's just waving around a gun and, you know, looking in the mirror at me. I mean, what do I, you know, what is the appropriate course of action? So
I'm assuming a pistol, right?
It was a pistol.
Okay.
And it was a big one, too.
And I thought to myself, well, maybe I have to take one bullet first, and then I can tell them the description. I mean, I don't know what the protocol is now, because, you know, you don't want – I mean, they're introducing legislation in some communities where if, you know, if you give the description, you could be guilty of the crime.
Yeah, how much has to happen to me before I can describe the suspect
exactly.
without having to do at least paperwork
That's
or
right.
something?
So, but you know what? I'm like – I told him the description, and it was really funny because there was a deliberate pause. You know, you go from like, oh, am I about to be shot to, oh, am I about to be like, you know, politically lynched? So,
and at that point, you have to ask which is worse.
So then the light turns green, and that guy shot out of there like a bat out of you know where. And he was literally cars were moving out of the way for this guy. So, anyway, they put
China.
Out a bolo. So that's my – and so, anyway, I was telling a family member about this, and they said, hey, welcome to New York – welcome to Memphis. Welcome to Memphis, Tennessee.
Better than New York, I'm guessing?
It's kind of like, you know, your street cred now. You know, it's like, oh, so you're from Memphis, huh? Have you – anybody pulled a gun on you yet? And I'm like, yeah. And they go, oh, welcome to the city. Great to have you with us. Oh, geez, Lou, I got to lay off that horn. All right, let's go to the phones here. 844-747-8868. Ed from Alabama listening to us on the live stream. Hi, Ed, what's going on?
I'm listening and enjoying your program as usual.
You're very kind to say that, Ed. Now, I understand that you worked at the Redstone Arsenal there, and you lost your job. What's going on?
Well, I retired from the Army after wearing the uniform for 29 years. I went back to work teaching graduate studies at the U.S. Army Command and General Staff College. We opened a campus down here at Redstone in 2011, and I transferred here. I was fired in 2018. I was teaching leadership, but I had previously taught in the history department up at Fort Leavenworth. So I put up a display of 8th Air Force to support the case study that we do on the movie 12 O'Clock High. I put a photograph of the first general killed in action in World War II in the display because it related directly to the instruction on 8th Air Force, and we always take our students over to Chickamauga, which is 2 hours away, to study the campaign of Chickamauga in 1863. So I thought, here's a great tie to the campaign and to the 8th Air Force case study. I would put the grandson of one of the Cavalry Corps commanders who was at Chickamauga, who was also the first Army general killed in action in World War II, in the display. Because I put his picture in there, one of my fellow instructors filed a formal complaint against me. I was pulled in, given a formal counseling, and then subsequently fired from my duties after 19 years.
What? Now, why did they explain why they were firing you?
No, but I know why. The picture was Nathan Bedford Forrest III, the grandson of the famous Confederate general. He was in his Army Air Corps uniform, or Air Force's uniform, and I put a little bio in there, said he graduated from West Point in 1928. He was leading a bomber raid over Germany in June of 1943. Because I had that photograph in there, another instructor filed a complaint against me, and then I was called in by my boss and given the formal written counseling and then subsequently fired from my job.
But
and they wouldn't tell me why. I asked them, why am I being fired? And they said, we do not have to tell you.
This is very bizarre, but you think it's because you had a picture of Nathan Bedford Forrest III in your presentation.
Oh, I know it was. It's a fact. I know it was. I had.
But wait a second.
I had
But Ed, hold on a second. Nathan Bedford Forrest III was a brigadier general. Are you kidding me? So he didn't serve in the Confederacy.
No, sir. He was. Just because of his name. I was told I was insensitive on my written counseling.
You were insensitive and you've got all that in writing that you were insensitive because of that photograph?
Yes, sir. Absolutely. Yes, I have it in writing.
My goodness. Ed, all right, here's what I want to do. We've got to take a break here. I want to put you on hold. I want to get all your contact information. And we want to see whatever you've got. And we're going to do a story on this. We're going to check all of this out. That's just outrageous that something like that happened. All right, Ed, hang tight. Avery's going to pick up the phone. Folks, we've got to take a break here. 844-747-8868, toll-free number. That's 844-747-8868. This cancel culture, folks, it's nuts. We'll be right back.
You're with Todd Starnes.
Coming up in the next hour, our good friend David Bossie is going to drop by. Also, Bernie Carrick, former commissioner of the NYPD. He wants to weigh in on what's happening, not just in Seattle and Portland, but also New York City. And this just coming in from Senator Joni Ernst's office. They're calling on the Office of Budget and Management to defund these cities where all of this anarchy is happening. In other words, no more tax dollars. They don't want a single tax dollar spent in these so-called autonomous zones or any of these other cities. Would that not be something else if the government just said, you know what, fine, you want to have anarchy, you want to have chaos, you know what, go for it, but you're not going to get any tax money. What do you folks think about that? 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. Now, when we started our radio program many moons ago, one of our more popular segments was this. We did crime news. And, you know, we have been thinking about this, and we have finally decided to resurrect what was a very popular franchise in our show. It is time for the National Police Blotter.
Keeping you updated on crimes sweeping across the Fruited Plain.
I ain't scared of no popo car, the popo car, the popo.
This is the Starnes ABB.
Dateline, New Orleans, Louisiana. I hope Miss Janice is okay. Police have been investigating a number of thefts of undergarments. The case took a bizarre turn when security camera footage caught the suspect red-handed with a sock in his mouth. How disgusting, you pervert! The culprit identified as Admiral Galacticat. Oh, I thought it's not a member of the military. Oh, it's no. Admiral Galacticat is 4 years old. It's a house cat belonging to Heather Barty. Barty outed her kleptomaniac. This is crazy. Barty outed her kleptomaniac cat on June 26 when she issued a confession on his behalf. The cat apparently had stolen socks, boxer shorts, and a tank top, among other items. That's why I don't like cats, guys. You just can't trust them.
They get a little too much in your business.
Yeah.
Just a smidge. From Sin City, Las Vegas, the Deja Vu Love Boutique. I don't think any good church-going Baptist would be caught in that place. Police say that someone stole a 6-foot-tall object. I've got to be careful reading this one, fellas. The pleasure tool cost nearly $2,000, stood 6 feet tall, and it was named after a popular book about a whale named Moby, and you can pretty much figure out the rest of that. From Chattanooga, Tennessee, police report a woman and her ex-friend sped by her house and has been harassing her. The woman says her ex-boyfriend has been constantly driving by the front of her house, harassing her by sticking out his tongue and middle finger. Oh, that's not very nice, especially in Chattanooga. I thought, you know, good people there.
Not quite as rude as what the guy was waving at you in the car in front of you.
This is true. Police also in Chattanooga, a man said he and his girlfriend of over 20 years were in an argument over another female. Wait a second. The guy, he's been dating this woman for 20 years? The girlfriend said she was going to burn his clothes. The man wanted police to stand by so he could retrieve his belongings without an altercation and before his property was set on fire. That seems reasonable.
Should have put a ring on it.
At least after a year, what, 12?
Yeah, you would think after about year 13. Once you get into the teens, that seems like a good time.
The man went into his home, collected two large bags of men's clothing and a box of Jordan shoes. After leaving through the front door, the police gave the guy a ride back to his home. That was very nice. He was going to stay with his sister so he and his girlfriend could cool down. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is your official police blotter, the official inaugural police blotter. We'll do this about once a week or so.
That was the worst. That was the worst 20th anniversary gift I've ever heard of, by the way.
What is that, by the way? Every anniversary, you get somebody something like you got to get them, some sort of a gift. And I'm not sure. What do you get somebody for their 20th?
I do not know. As somebody who's never been married, I can't answer this question.
It is something to consider. I don't know.
Yes. They should give you like a guide. That's something they should teach you.
You would think so. By the way, I'm very disappointed in this story. We're going to be getting into the face mask situation. In Washington, D.C., the mayor there has just announced it will now be a crime. So if you go outside without a face mask on, it doesn't matter what you're doing. If you go outside without a face mask on, $1,000 fine. Everyone over the age of 3 years old in Washington, D.C. has to wear a face mask. And they have apparently already fined a handful of people, $1,000, for not wearing a face mask. We also understand that a man from Bangor, Maine, who was on vacation in Hawaii, was arrested after he refused to be quarantined. And I got to tell you something. Can you blame the guy? I mean, you fly all the way out from Bangor, Maine to Honolulu. You want to go out on the beach. You want to get to go to the luau's and the, see the dancing girls and the grass skirts. And instead, you got to, stay inside your hotel room at the Motel 6. I mean, nobody wants to do that. Anyway, that guy got arrested. Got to take a break. Bernie Carrick, David Bossie coming up next.